Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar,
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call, 646-915-8421. Email thctucson at gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, or tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors for Weed Day Wednesday are Growers House, Accurate Med Testing, EasyMarijuana.com, and Culture Magazine.
We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week, along with the lowest price certifications in town. You'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things educational related to medical cannabis.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com.
And remember,
be smart, be safe, and educate.
All right, welcome to Weed Day Wednesday with a little cough in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Woo! We're doing bong hits with some hash I made this weekend, so there's a little coughing going on. Oh, wait, lovely. I love that word, lovely. Somebody said the other day, I gave them
very
a little
lovely.
Bit, and I said, how about that? And she said, lovely. I love
that. Yes.
It is lovely. It does
Did
make
you love
you
it?
Feel, makes you feel lovely. Like,
uh-huh.
Happy, relaxed. Stretch and enjoy the beautiful Weed Day Wednesday morning. Can you believe it? February 18th, 2015.
I just can't imagine how this year has gone by for us.
Already.
Well,
we're coming up
two.
On springtime.
Sure are. And you can already tell here in the sunny Tucson, you're already getting your shorts out. The weather in, I just got back from Vegas, and the weather there was about the same as the weather here. And we gotta love this weather during this time because
gorgeous. The wildflowers are popping
mm-hmm.
out. The ocotillo have their
blooms.
Yeah, their blooms are coming. Which if you don't know about the ocotillo here in the desert, you can make a little fruit punch out of it. Actually, they say it tastes like watermelon. I did collect the berries one year. I didn't make the juice though. I slacked. So I got halfway there. Maybe this year. We'll
that
go back out
amazing.
And yeah, we'll go back out and do the whole process.
Yeah.
But are we talking about ocotillo berries? Or are we talking about marijuana, folks? We are talking about weed, cannabis.
We are. Now I've been out the last few weeks, and so
yeah. What's up with that? We need here to do the show.
I know, and I apologize though.
Yeah, folks,
I know.
He's sorry for not being here and leaving you all with me. That's really bad.
The tech guy, I'm sure, was helping out as much as he could.
Oh, he always does. He gives us a sits over there, and I just watch the body language, and I know whether or not I'm doing okay. If he's entertained, I think I'm doing all right.
He likes to catch us up on things that we miss, though, too,
yes.
Which is really nice.
In the shadows. He gives us the lowdown, the deal.
He's got his prompter over there, and he spells it out for us.
Oh, it's huge. It's a big electronic thing. I mean, I don't even know how to run it. Oh, we got a tech guy here. Yay! Oh, what? Oh, thank you for that, tech guy. Little bird calls in the morning. Speaking of bird calls in the morning, so guess where I was?
Where, Belle?
Safeway.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. And I'm walking down the aisle. I'm looking at cards and, you know, just doing your thing around the holidays. And I see this giant marijuana leaf on a magazine, which, unless it's High Times, you usually don't see that.
Oh, no.
It's
mm-mm.
just not something. And then High Times isn't at Safeway.
I
don't think High Times is there. But this is a special edition Newsweek magazine, and it's all about the weed. It's called Weed Nation.
And this thing is
America Ready for a Legalized Future? Oh, you know
what,
it.
At least 200 pages.
Oh, my gosh. This is ridiculous.
I'd say at least 200 pages, maybe more.
On the back?
Oh.
Okay, 94.
Man,
but they're
looks,
huge. It looks
they're
gigantic.
Pages.
Yeah, the whole thing is about weed. And on the back is a beautiful picture of a Florida State Trooper car with maybe it's not such a beautiful picture. They took all our plants. That's not a pretty picture.
Yeah, there's a couple in some garbage bags. And
you're going to want to frame
like
that. It's gonna be the, yep, last time you'll see that for a while.
It's actually a really cool picture. I
it
mean,
is a cool picture. It would be a cool little, yeah, well.
With a nice.
Yeah, we can month.
But this thing is filled with tons of pictures of just cannabis over the last few years.
Just the news.
The legalization in different states, the medical part of it.
The political part, the medical, recreational.
This is awesome.
And one small smoke for
time
man. Yeah, this is great. On January 1st, 2014, at the 3D Denver Discreet Dispensary, Sean Alzerati, an Iraq War veteran, became the first person in Colorado to legally purchase marijuana for recreational use. I just got thrilled.
I know, I did too.
No, it wasn't a fan of it. Because it's fantastic. I mean, you know, anybody that needs this beautiful plant should have access to it. And there you go.
Well, anything that this many people is fighting for.
Yeah. Well, we're fighting for a free world. Well, yeah. They are, the military. So on the very first page, you've got, so Cannabis Kid is exactly right. This is a little historical here. On June 28th, this is Brickweed, it's called, 2012 in Chicago, Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy and participating members of the CPD, Drug Enforcement Agency, and Illinois State Police at a press conference announcing the seizure of roughly 16,000 pounds of cannabis. The seized pot had a street value of more than $40 million. And you've got all these guys in suits, and then the DEA guy with his badge. Oh, and the state trooper with his Yogi the Bear outfit. I've got to have one of those hats. I love those hats. I'm going to have mine with a big C for cannabis on it. I'll be the cannabis cop. Make sure you have your weed at all times. You have your weed? Oh, there's a ticket. Next time
here?
You get your weed, you owe me a joint.
Here? No, you actually just make out the prescription.
Oh, I like it.
One drink for you.
Here's one. Grass.
Call me in the morning.
Grass is greener. This is a beautiful young hippie with her little hippie friend staring behind her or looking on going,
it's
gosh,
like
I can't wait for my turn.
Exactly what I was going to say.
I just saw that.
You can see it in her face.
The pot that was pervasive in 1973. When this photo was taken, was surprisingly low in THC. The year's average record, 0.83. Oh, my gosh. Today's marijuana can top out at 20-plus percent. 0.83% THC, 1973.
That is incredible.
Wow.
Now,
no wonder my aunts were all giggling.
our friend,
yes,
Urban, his cannabis percentage is 3%.
Yes, it is 3, or not even that, I don't think, maybe 2.
Yeah, I think you have 2 points close to 3.
Yeah.
So,
and that is the, if you don't know, to the new listeners out there, that's our own very own federal government patient, medical cannabis patient. Of course they have them. You're like, wait, our government has
Well, there's only two left.
Of course
there was.
Yeah, there were 13.
13, yeah.
And, wait, what do you mean our government grows pot? Of course it grows pots and growing
well, if
pots
you're just
for 40
listening
years.
In.
If you're just tuning in for the first time.
Patents, lots of patents.
Back, relax. Keep your hands inside your heart all the time.
Isn't anything new to this country.
And enjoy your life.
It used to be used as medicine. It used to be...
We're like Hoda and Kathy Lee on weed.
We are. That is. I love that. Well, that's Hoda and Kathy.
I'm weed. But who's going to start... I guess I'm Krabby Kathy, huh? You can be Hoda. Start singing. You have to sing a song because she loves the little prompter.
Yeah, she does. I don't know that.
I don't
know if I'm going to sing.
Oh.
You be Hoda.
Oh, I don't.
I'll be Krabby Kathy.
Oh, we can take turns. We'll take turns. Here we go.
All right.
This is fantastic. Okay, we're getting a little just so excited.
Wow, tune back in with us.
Good song hit. Come back. What? Reel it in, folks. Reel it. We're only 8 minutes in.
You reel it back in.
Oh, my gosh. Are there bloggers? We haven't even checked. Good morning. Oh,
G13.
My gosh. Oh, yeah, good morning. G13.
Gene, baby. Good
we
morning.
Are Lemon Skunk.
In
and
it out. It out.
Hashing it out with our lemon skunk. So, on the Wednesday website, there is none. Go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. Click on the radio link. And
this is going to be a great show, folks.
You'll
get
see
back in here.
You'll see what we're reading about. I also posted it on Facebook last night, too, just the cover of the magazine, just to get you guys all a little interested and curious here. So here we go. This is something we love. It's a brief history of weed in America. I love that they're calling it weed. I just, because it's the rebel in me, you know?
I know. I know you do love that.
I know. It's just, you know, call it what you want. It's still a
beautiful
planet.
It's a free country. Call it whatever you want.
Yeah. Sweet planet. Well. All right. Here we go. And we've got our, we've got photos. This is, book's not a book without photos. So we've got photos of
I think on every single
Sir
page.
Walter Raleigh here.
The highs and lows.
March 25th, 1584. Queen Elizabeth grants a charter to Sir Walter Raleigh to explore and establish colonies in the New World. Soon after, a colony is established in Roanoke, North Carolina. Thomas Harriot, the celebrated mathematician and friend of Sir Walter Raleigh, wrote in his journal the following year that he witnessed hemp growing wild in the nearby North American region that would soon be called Virginia.
August 2nd through the 4th, 1619, the Virginia colony enacts legalization, making hemp a mandatory crop for all farmers. In 1553, Henry V passed a similar act in Britain, forcing farmers with more than 60 acres to devote a quarter acre of hemp cultivation. April 30th, 1789, George Washington, whose Virginia farm is particularly decided to the cultivation, dedicated to the cultivation of hemp, is inaugurated as the first president of the United States as his Secretary of State. Thomas Jefferson is another Virginia hemp grower who also invented a device for processing it in 1815.
Wow.
Jefferson is also often quoted by a marijuana activist as having stated, "Some of my finest hours have been spent on my back vineyard, smoking hemp and observing as far as my eye can see." But there's no source attributing this quote to him.
Ah, he said it.
He did say
you
it.
You know it. My goodness. Wouldn't you just love to be
Who would make something like that up?
On your back porch, just...
That's exactly how I do it.
I'm still afraid to sit on my front or back porch.
You shouldn't.
It's just neighbors, you know?
You really shouldn't.
I'm new to the neighborhood.
You really shouldn't.
I want to break them in easy, you know? Man.
Well, I'm sure your neighbors to the right...
We'll just stop right there. Neighbors to the right! All right. Let's see if we can sing it. Go Hoda. Should we have them on the show? They've been calling a lot, but... You know, I told her before to hang on. We got to get to our 3-year mark, which is coming up.
We got
to
incorporate
3 years. We say Wednesday, March 4th. We're having a huge show. A lawyer might be coming on. Tom
Very
Dean.
Fun.
I love that. Robert Clatchorn, Heidi Hanford. Doug Fine's coming on air pretty soon. In fact, he's going to be cruising into town. He just might be at Tumbleweed Health Center for everyone to say hello. He
loves
Doug. It could be any moment. We could hear all over the horn right now, but we don't even know. He said it could just be any time now. We love Dougie Fresh. All right, here we go.
Right here.
September 11th, 1836. Fitzhugh Ludlow was born in New York City. Hi, New York. Hi, Grand Island. His 1850 story, The Hashish Eater, is one of the first cultural representations of recreational marijuana use as opposed to the industrial use of hemp in the U.S. The hashish eater.
See that? Four
the Netherlands are here. Hello, Netherlands. Yeah, I can't say that. That's a lot. Hashish. Yeah. Happy birthday to we. Yeah, coming up 3 years.
Yeah. Well, here we go.
All right. Here we go. 1911. April 29th. Massachusetts becomes the first U.S. state to ban cannabis. What in the world did they do that for? 1911. Guys, come on. What's going on? All right.
Who lived there?
Here we go. July 2nd, 1911. Harry J. Finger, a prominent member of the California Board of Pharmacy, in a letter to Hamilton Wright, the chief architect of U.S. narcotics policy, urges the first international opium conference to take up the question of marijuana. Okay, now wait a minute. Let's back up.
Let me get my spectacles out.
We're going to back up to the opium conferences.
Who
put those on? When did those start? And they're gonna.
And whose problem is that?
And they're gonna start crying about marijuana. A little bit.
You
of
guys
weed.
Need to calm down.
Yeah, you guys need to smoke more opium. Yeah.
Right. Or less.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe they need to smoke more pot. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I can't even remember where. All right. Here we go. Okay. So they urged the first international opium conference to take up the question of marijuana. Finger is particularly concerned with California's influx of Hindus and their demand for cannabis indica. By 1913, California is among states which have outlawed cannabis outright. Oh, that's Way to go, guys. 1925, the League of Nations, February 19th. Oh, that's tomorrow. The League of Nations signs a multilateral treaty restricting Indian hemp to scientific and medical use only. Odd. October 29th, 1929. Now, that's Indian hemp. The stock market crashes, eventually resulting in the Great Depression. In states like California, Arizona, and New Mexico, the worsened economic climate is a catalyst for anti-immigrant and anti-marijuana feeling. According to Yale historian Dr. David Musso, people tried to get them to go back to Mexico. They were thought to be undercutting Americans for jobs, and they were thought to take marijuana and create mayhem. Oh, my gosh. Oh, go back. I'd be taking that marijuana. Just leave that here.
Leave your own.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
March 31st, 1930, the Production Code Administration, popularly known as Hayes Office, begins regulating American cinematic releases.
Wow.
All depictions of narcotic use are banned through the code itself. Isn't widely enforced until 1934.
Wow. The Hayes Office.
So
they were in a haze.
Well, it seemed like there was a person who had a lot of power and started just immediately filing paperwork on this plan. October 29th, 1929, the stock market crashes, eventually resulting in the Great Depression. In states like California, Arizona. Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, we moved to the next one.
Yeah. There we go. I know.
Sorry about that.
I had to go back. I had some, like,
woo!
Something was coming through the radio. Maybe that was my mom.
I think that second part is kicking in. June 26, 1936, the Convention for the Suppression of Illicit Traffic in Dangerous Drug convenes. Federal Bureau of Narcotics Commissioner Harry Anslinger attempts to adopt legalization that would ban all use of hemp. November 24, 1936, Harvest Mentron, Metrotone,
decrying the dangers of marijuana, premieres in U.S. cinemas. Oh, yeah. Coupled with Marijuana, a Duane Esper film, and Reefer Madness, we all know that one. Tell Your Children, it's called, in parentheses. Oh, my God. These 1930s propaganda vehicles became and remain cultural touchstones in the legalization of debate.
March 24th, 1937, Bureau of Narcotics Chief Harry Anslinger meets with his counterparts in Canada to organize a crackdown of cross-border cannabis trafficking. As early as 1937, Anslinger was one of the first high-profile proponents of the gateway theory, which states marijuana users are most likely to move on to other harder drugs.
We should not do
like hash.
Marijuana this morning.
August 2nd, 1937, President Franklin Roosevelt signs the Marijuana Tax Act, which banned cannabis use, production, and sales, including industrial hemp products.
What?
September 13th, 1938, New York Mayor
Fiorello. Expresses concern to the New York Academy of Medicine about the need for impartial research into the marijuana problem. LaGuardia soon convenes that his committee, which seeks to determine the effects of the drug and the validity of the federal government's case for prohibition. They eventually find that marijuana use does not lead to violence, addiction, or use of other narcotics, and recommend decriminalization and regulation in their landmark 1944 report. 1944, they were recommending just letting us have it.
Gosh.
Wow. This is just awesome. This whole book is just, which we're just going to read from through the, you know, we'll talk about some local things too.
Maybe.
Sure, why not, maybe.
Right now we're,
but,
we're concentrated
kind of,
we're on that.
We're stuck on history, and this
wow.
is awesome.
This goes.
Book. This keeps going. It goes to December of 2014, so we can read it. What do you think? I think we should.
I think we should, too.
All right. Here we go. December 7th, 1941. The United States is dragged into World War II when the Japanese Empire bombs Pearl Harbor. Hemp restrictions are loosened during the war, and by early 1942, a newsreel is produced titled Hemp for Victory, which you can see at Tumbleweed Health Center, in which farmers are encouraged to grow the plant to boost wartime production. September 2nd, 1945, following BJ Day, the Roosevelt administration rebanned industrial hemp production after the wartime leeway. Facing stiff federal penalties, industrial hemp farmers are forced to plow under their hemp crops, and pharmacists are forced to remove any cannabis-related products from shelves. Wow, 1945. So there were still, up until then, there's still products on the shelf, and they're still growing hemp.
I have some people that are alive from that time.
All right. Let's talk to those people. February 25th, 1949, actor Robert Mitchum is released from prison after serving 2 months for marijuana possession. People magazine reported later, recounted, the press nationwide branded him a dope fiend. Preachers railed against him from pulpits. Mothers warned their daughters to shun his films. Oh, my gosh. Wow, that's harsh.
Yeah.
but if you think about 1949, you know, think about how
the edginess of it all.
Well, they were goody two-shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
A lot of good stuff going on.
So everyone was going to hell who didn't do anything that the Bible didn't say.
Fiery hell. Yeah. August 2nd, 1951, the Brooklyn Daily Eagle reports the New York City Sanitation Department destroy 41,000 pounds of marijuana growing in vacant lots in Brooklyn. During ongoing crackdowns, we can't hope to wipe it out entirely, a city council told the New Yorker that month. A lot of it is planted, but the weed grows freely here. And most of the marijuana in the city is probably in backyards of people who don't even know what it is. Therefore, don't report it.
Yeah.
Though they do.
Throughout
the decades, most of states institute mandatory minimums for possession of cannabis.
Mandatory minimums for possession. Man, I can't even imagine. Well, let's see. One of us was born in 70, and the other one was born in 80? Just 80? Plain old 80? Plain old 80. I thought you were going to say like we were more
it's
of a
really
baby than that, 84.
Tech
and one of us was born, well, I won't tell you. Tech guy's wife.
65.
August 16th, 1964. No, but he loves you for that.
I know.
He loves you for that. Yeah, he's high-fiving. Yeah. We can say 58 on there. Mm-hmm. No one knows anything. Could be the number of days coming up. August 16th, 1964. Here we go. Look it up now. You turn the page,
this
and now you got the hippies. Okay, and then just saying no, Nancy. And then Mr. Bill, who didn't inhale. And there's Obama with one of his little smirks on. You've got to love it. All right. San Francisco named Lowell Egemeyer marches into the city's Hall of Justice and lights a joint in the presence of the police inspector. I'm starting a campaign to legalize marijuana, he announces. I wish to be arrested. He's taken to jail, but his act is considered the beginning of modern legalization activism for cannabis.
That is awesome.
Can you imagine? Oh, God, in 64, walking in there and in front of a police officer just lighting joint saying, I'm starting a protest. I love it. I want to be the fly on that wall. January 10th, 1965. Beat poet Allen Ginsberg leads a march for legalization outside the New York Women's House of Detention in Lower Manhattan. His pro-legalization group, Lamar, is credited with holding the first organized demonstration in late 1964. I love it.
All this history is just
I know,
really
it
amazing.
It makes you just go back and, oh, here
we
go.
I know a little bit of it.
We got
hear, you know, these people that have taken the stances.
Yeah.
At the very beginning. And
yeah, because if you don't speak up, you know, people think
but
that.
But how long it took.
But well, and that was quick.
Mm-hmm.
In a matter of, you know, it did take a while, but, you know, you often hear people say things like, I don't vote because I'm just one person and it doesn't make a difference. Well, tell that to this guy, who Mr.
This
Lowell,
is the one that first
who walked
started,
into the police
right,
station with a
64.
Joint. Yeah, you tell him he didn't mean anything.
Right.
One person made that big of a difference.
Right.
And you folks can do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of one person, we just got a link online from a blogger that says, Arizona Health Director Will Humble quits. Let's check this out. Yeah. Let's check it out. Oh, my goodness. Arizona Health Director Will Humble quits. We'll just reel in for some local news. Like a news break.
He's done. Where's that at?
Here we go. I know. Arizona's Director of Health Services, Will Humble, speaks at the Arizona Adverse Child Experiences Consortium presentation in March 2014. There's a photo of him. Arizona's top health official will step down March 3rd at 23 years of state. Will Humble submit his resignation to Governor Doug Ducey on Friday. This has been an awesome job, he wrote Monday on the Arizona Department of Health Services blog. However, he continued, careers have a life cycle. Figuring out what it's time to turn the page and move on to do something else is a hard thing to do. That time has come for me. Humble not yet named an interim or permanent directory at the agency. As for himself, he said, I don't have any exact professional plan. I think I'll just catch a breath and see what turns up, but I'm sure it will be in public health in one way or another. In a letter to the governor announcing his intention to leave, Humble said he believes he is leaving the Arizona Department of Health Services in good shape. Our public health preparedness programs are world-class, and our prevention activities continue to be used nationally as models of excellence and best practices, he wrote, noting that the state has improved its ability to respond to communicable disease outbreaks, reduced obesity and smoking rates, and reduced prescription drug abuse, among other things. Humble has been part of the health department since 1992, during which time he served as the Bureau Chief of Epidemiology and Disease Control, Assistant Director for Public Health Preparedness, and Deputy Director of Public Health. He took the agency's helm in 2009. As director, Humble helped to put together Arizona's first comprehensive state health assessment, overhauled healthcare institution licensing programs, and oversaw the implementation of a voter-approved medical marijuana program. Last year, Humble was involved in two lawsuits related to the marijuana law, including a dispute over whether to make the drug available to people suffering from PTSD. I bet he's not involved in just two lawsuits, and the boy better run, because there's going to be a lot of other people chasing him to sue him for what he's done with the program. I know. That's big news, folks. What do the bloggers have to say? Let's see what you guys have to say. Anybody, any bloggers out there want to comment? Anybody want to call in and comment on that? It's a lot, you know.
Well, I think having that job would be... you got both sides coming at you.
You sure do. You've got
the people of the states and the country coming at you, and then you have this, you know, like between a rock and a hard place. I mean, what do you do? You let a little bit of things come through. You let a bit of things.
But
you can't
don't
have to
lie,
say no to that. You
and
have
you
to
don't
say
make
no.
up things.
It's true.
That's for sure.
And then that's what you have to make sure that you are.
Well,
what you're really in it for.
We're hoping that the next person that comes in is really pro marijuana, like really pro marijuana. He may have been, you know, involved in instituting this, and he's got lawsuits abound. But we need somebody in here that loves cannabis.
I agree,
like
pro marijuana, but I also want someone in there who's going to take this job in on an open mind and really read the statistics of each thing and going, hey, we make a logical decision on what the country needs to compare to what pocketbook needs.
Well, and this is very interesting, and this is what we're talking about with him. Coming soon, public discussion on discrepancies in the health department, police, and state medical marijuana law. So, and marijuana law policies. Because a lot of things that you read on the website, the Arizona Department of Health Services website that he created, that section 4 or whatever, or helped or did whatever, there's a lot of fallacies on there. A lot of things are not true.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things are just not put on there for you to see, so that, you know, there's rules, statutes there, but most people don't go read those. You should go read those. If you have a medical marijuana law in your state, you should read your rules and statutes and find out really what's legal and what isn't, and then get yourself a good lawyer if you get in trouble. Like Tom Dean.
Yeah.
We love Mr. Dean. He's hopefully going to be on our radio show sometime, hopefully for our 3-year anniversary.
Right.
Which is going to be fantastic.
2 weeks, folks.
Oh, is it? No, three?
Three weeks.
March 4th. I can't count. We'll have to look.
Actually,
let's look. Is it three?
One, two, three.
No, it's two. It's 2 weeks away.
Yep.
That means I have to plan.
Glad we had that discussion today.
Yeah, I'm glad we did. You know what else I'm glad we have?
What up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up. Got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge. It used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high. Looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up. I can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I take a 65? DeVille cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
What you know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers. And bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealthy? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interest. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
And we're back.
Woohoo!
Welcome to Wednesday, Wednesday. So we just had a killer question over the break.
He's a killer bong rip.
And a killer bong rip. We're supposed to be resting over the break.
We weren't and we didn't. Sorry,
here's
folks.
The question. So here it is. This is for all you guys out there. Because we all know someone in our life that is a slight bit older than we are. We'll say 78.
Well, it's age doesn't make a difference.
Oh, it does. This is what our discussion was. Age does make a difference because of the age group of people that we were talking about. We'll say 75. We'll just give it an average. They have a mindset, and their mindset is done. At 75 years old, if they think marijuana is bad, they've been told it's a drug, drugs are bad, their friends think it's bad, that's it. Then they're done. And that's just it. That's just the way they think. They're not going to change their mind. They've thought that way for 75 years, and that's it. How do you change the mind? And I bet Robert Platchhorn is going to be able to answer that question. What
that's
do you guys think,
question.
Bloggers out there in the world? Yeah,
What do you think about changing the minds of someone who's already stuck
who
in that way?
Who's staunchly stuck mm-hmm. in their mindset. Because it's like,
and you know, I mean, you know them out there. They're either, I mean, they're close to you. And,
well, you know, things work or they don't. And
right.
this, we won't go there. Anyway, we love this magazine. I'm so
brought up a lot of questions, I'm sure.
And this is an important part of all this is education and discussion and communication. Because if you're not communicating with each other in the world, you can't grow. You can't know what each other's thinking. And you can't.
You can't have a discussion about it.
With it. Yeah, you can't
talk about
it.
More and more people are awakening to this, these new ideas.
Yeah.
These new ideas.
And with Newsweek on the stands with a giant pot leaf that is American flag pot leaf, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Because people love our flag. And our flag to this country, it just screams.
Well, if you think, I mean, our flag means
independence. And our rights, and just, it means so many things to so many people. And then you stick it in a pot leaf. That's got to just mess with the minds of the 78-year-olds who don't know how to change. And hopefully they'll pick this magazine up, and they'll read it. And there's some science in here. There's politics.
One of the vets are talking that are coming back from this war that they've been going on for 13 years. And they're talking about their stories and how cannabis has come into their life. And it's really making some dramatic changes from their helping them with their PTSD.
Yes, there's different stories. Mm-hmm. They've got little articles about skeptics.
They have everyone in here giving their head of the
dealer, the lawman, the journalist,
wow,
the activist. Yeah,
really awesome.
It's really awesome. The casualty, the entrepreneur. Face the pot, they call it. And it's freaking fantastic.
Huh.
Yeah. So that's not advertising. Sorry, you guys will have to turn to page 57.
You'll have to pick up the magazine to figure out what we're laughing about.
So check this out. We were also talking about the price of hash. We love hash.
Oh, one other thing before we get started. I had a question, when we were talking.
Raise your hand.
what does this change look like that we're going to be encountering in these next year and a half? Where this plant is going. Every single day, there is a new mind thinking up something that they can do with this plant. And the economy, it means that people are using their brains and they're going, I can make something like this work and
donors
make money.
Are smart.
And
they're very
smart.
Smart.
And
brilliant.
How many people can benefit from their product? I mean, look at how much crap we have on store shelves. What about replacing that crap with good
quality
stuff? Quality, good. Hemp is amazing for the body, and so is cannabis.
Like my dad says, you get what you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
You get what you pay for.
You get what you pay for. Shelves with things that are good.
Like cannabis.
Cannabis.
Like
cereal.
Before 1945, and they made everybody take the cannabis
right.
off the shelf.
And start letting the people have this plant back. So, sorry.
Well, in places like Target.
That's the way I see that little pot leaf on the front.
Well, it's fantastic, though, and that's exactly it. I love the fact that places like Walmart, Kmart, Costco, the big places have organic foods.
Uh-huh.
Why?
Well,
because it drives the price down for everybody else.
And they're all carrying hemp seed.
And they're all carrying it. You can get hemp seed anywhere.
Yeah.
It's fantastical.
It's great for your body. All
Check
it is.
This out. We love this magazine. This is going to be weeks of fun.
Weeks.
Years.
Tell me about it.
Okay, so here they've got a high prices. When you buy a little cannabis on the black market, here's where your money's going. Oh, my goodness. All right, so where does it start? We go for a little, okay. $10 at the border. A customs agent is bribed about $10 a pound for loads greater than 1,000 pounds, which are stashed in semi-trucks of food. Smaller loads go in trucks and cars. So the border's getting, the customs agents are getting bribed $10 a pound for people who are bringing in loads bigger than 1,000 pounds.
Cool. See that, folks? It's okay to travel.
Well, you've got $10 per pound to give to your local customs agent. Okay. $40 to $60.
There's it right there. Is that gray? Is that in the gray area?
Just no, that's right there. Be careful asking your local customs agent, folks. $40 to $60.
Practice with your friend before you go.
Per pound, transport marijuana across the border from Juarez to El Paso, a distance of only 5 miles. They get $50 a pound to transport 5 miles. Now, imagine if this truck was 350,000 pounds, makes that 5 miles and get $50 a pound for that.
I have no idea. A lot of money. There's a lot of money
square.
Changing hands.
Oh, boy.
I wonder if they take Square.
Oh, they might. Swipe and go.
Uh-huh.
Swipe and go. I love it. Most marijuana markets make its way into the states from, Mr. President, call us later. We told him not to call during the show.
Probably Kathy and Hoda.
Oh, those girls. Okay. Most marijuana makes its way into the states from Juarez by way of El Paso. The Juarez Plaza is increasingly controlled by drug cartels, which operate in 237 different cities in Mexico. Well, I've been to El Paso.
So what we are seeing
the
is...
the Texas.
Yes, yeah.
Now we know why.
Well, it's so close. Actually, I've driven by there, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's Mexico. And then it looks exactly like Nogales. I know.
Hold on. Okay. $14. The rate per pound drivers earn to transport the pot from the farm to Juarez. Oh, no way, man. You should go from El Paso. You should take the 5 mile trek. Yeah, that's a way better earning. Oh, my goodness. $23 a pound. Amount per pound paid to Mexican marijuana growers. So they get $23 per pound of pot.
Well, I'm thinking if they know that's coming down there, plus just...
Well, if it's coming in bricks like we saw on the very first page.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. Okay.
It's not taken care of.
And this is
sure.
This is great. This looks like an old treasure map, and it shows you along the route how everything's worked here from the start of it.
The little key down here, it tells you what the little symbols mean.
Yes. You got a police officer with sunglasses on. With sunglasses. That's police detective.
Have you seen this kid?
You've got... What is that?
Gavel.
Bribing judges and politicians. And you've got a 45.
Which is
hitman to assassinate enemies. Folks.
This shit's serious.
Serious shit.
This math you want to get.
Oh, my goodness. Most of the illegal cannabis sold in America still comes from south of the border. Much of Mexico's marijuana is grown in the infamous Golden Triangle region, the states of Sinaloa, Durango, and Chihuahua. We know somebody. Okay. Here we go. You ready into the big time? $550. By the time it gets to El Paso, the pound of pot the farmer earned $23 for is now worth $240. After the per-pound transportation cost of moving north to a major drug hub like Chicago, that pot value has increased to about $550 a pound. So it went from $23 a pound to $240 to $550 in a matter of just a little travel time. Okay, $11,000 is what it costs to haul the cash from marijuana sales back to Mexico. Cartels pay drivers between 2-3% of the total greenbacks they earn. 1,000 pounds worth of marijuana could net a cash carrier about $11,000. The greenbacks, they call them.
The greenbacks.
They're not so green anymore. They're going to have to call them rainbowbacks because they're looking pretty these days.
Mm-hmm.
Acones or hawks.
Acones.
Also get a piece of the action. They're the watchers, the spiers, employed by cartels to track the trade of ports of entry and figure out where and when it's ideal to attempt certain crossings. I'm getting scared.
It's
scary.
Well, it shouldn't be scary. I mean,
look at the there's a gun.
But the reason why all this is all happening along this border is on our side with all the heavy security that we have.
Okay. $1 million. In one case, here you read this.
All right.
Read that one.
I don't want to get scared.
No, I'm already scared.
In one case, 1,900-pound load of marijuana that cost a little more than $300,000 to get from farm to market, including the cost to bringing the cash back to the cartel, solid wholesale in Chicago for more than $1 million. So it's $300,000
and $700,000. Just wow. Oh, my goodness. That's craziness. Did you read that one?
No. $30
billion. Estimates vary, but experts figure cartels make between $15 billion and $30 billion per year from illicit drug sales, more than 60% of that marijuana sold to the U.S. Wow.
No,
and that profit allows for cartels to pay for. Okay.
That's what it was for.
There you go. The cartels pay for police protection, they bribe judges, and they bribe politicians, and they have hitmen to assassinate their enemies. That's some pretty
scary.
That
sounds like a movie Bruce Willis would be in.
Yeah.
Big dunk.
Oh,
you want to go this way?
No, bong for the big dog.
No, you're going to turn around, Bubba.
All right, so growing in the USA, 20% of domestic market share by 2008. In that market, much more of the profit is returned to the grower owing to fewer transportation costs and associated risks. 24% of the wholesale prices of cannabis is spent on energy bills.
For the growing.
Yeah,
I can only imagine that.
Yeah, I can only imagine. The energy needed to grow one joint one pump is equal to the energy needed to power a 100-watt light bulb for 17 hours, or the energy needed to make 18 pint beer. Don't complain about the price of joints. Yeah, look at that. Take that. Let's read that again.
Yeah, I was going to say because...
The energy needed to grow one joint's worth of pot, let's say a gram, one joint, okay, a gram, is equal to the energy needed to power a 100-watt light bulb for 17 hours, or the energy needed to make 18 pints of beer. A lot of energy.
It's a lot of beer.
It's a lot of pot.
Joint. I mean, I guess...
Yeah, growing without energy
but
bills, waiting for summertime. Did you hear that?
It's better than 18
Eco
years.
Growing. Get your plants in the sunshine.
Get them outside.
U.S. energy use for growing cannabis is equivalent to that used to power 2 million homes. Oh, my goodness. U.S. energy use for growing cannabis is equivalent to that used to power 2 million homes. Wow. Wow. We need to fix that. So we need to have all the homeless running the cannabis groves. So they're housed and they got your groves. Done. Assuming average energy costs around the country. Normal greenhouse, $5 per square foot per year on energy. Cannabis grow, $55 per square foot per year. In California, energy prices are nearly four times that of other states. Interesting. Netherlands buddy says, get your plants in the sunshine. If cannabis were no longer illegal in the United States, energy costs associated with growing domestically could be reduced by up to 75%. Come on, folks. Come on. And the tax boost to the U.S. Treasury could add up to almost $9 billion. $9 billion. My goodness, you guys. That's crazy.
Talk about saving a country.
Yeah, ours. All right. This is just awesome. Yeah, and you know, they show someone doing the sobriety test on the side of the road. I'm sure.
The tunnels.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God. Okay, so here's another one I like, too. Sidetracked with this great magazine. So I'm darn near the centerfold. Page 32 with Taylor, along with here. State of the Union. The United States responds by a shared hatred of demon weed is slowly but surely changing its tune. All right. After the elections held on November 4th, 2014, ballot initiatives in Oregon and Alaska helped two states join Colorado and Washington in fully legalizing cannabis. Washington, D.C. also passed a law fully decriminalizing pot use for both recreational and medicinal purposes. Several other states have systems in place where cannabis is legal for medical purposes, joining California, the first state to pass medical marijuana legislation, and utilizing cannabis for patient care. As attitudes towards cannabis shift, many states are adjusting their laws to effectively decriminalize the drug, instructing law enforcement to make enforcement and prohibition a low priority or opting for fines as opposed to jail time for possession. Yes, even more ballot initiatives are expected by 2016. Other states remain resistant, however, with some even passing legislation suggesting that a single puff will not be tolerated.
Ooh.
This is a state-by-state break. I know. And like we say, folks, if you are in we got a message from a blogger. If you're in Arizona, you're in one of the top five worst states to get busted. Ooh, pretty. Without I know that's distracting.
That's so nice.
That's beautiful. Oh, happy.
Look
how happy they are.
There.
We got a picture of beautiful, happy plants. Yeah, yay! They're out enjoying free energy.
They look so happy.
So back to being in Arizona. They're gonna be out there. Those are great. Thank you for that. You should have your medical marijuana card because if you don't and you're using cannabis and you get busted, you get caught, you get pulled over, whatever, they find it on you. We have one of the worst penalties in the United States. Instant felony, instant jail time, fines up the wazoo. They'll take your house, they'll take your car, they'll take your job. Like, this is for real here. So get a card. And if you think it's a game, don't, because we've seen too many people that we love hurt. All right.
Yes.
Oregon. Cannabis will officially become legal in Oregon on July 1st, 2015. The law allows those 21 to possess up to 1 ounce in public and 8 ounces at home. Sales of the drug will be taxed and proceeds will go to police departments, schools, and mental health programs. Okay, so.
I like the mental health programs because that's where.
Yeah, let's go back to having an ounce in public.
You just get to show it.
You just get to
hold it up.
My 1 ounce. You walk around with it. Like, you could have a vest on that has like a see-through part. You could have your weed all in it.
Or just safety pin it to the shirt.
Safety pin it to your shirt. You could have a cape made of your 1 ounce of weed. Can we? All right. Wyoming. Uh-oh. Forget
the
session. Simply being high could land you in jail for 90 days. Boots on.
Nevada, a ballot measure for legalization is expected in 2016.
All right. Ooh.
Well, that would make it definitely make sense.
Yeah. I'm surprised these Nevada and this here California hasn't. A ballot measure in favor of legalization is also expected. Woo! For 2016.
Yeah, totally unexpected. Well, Oregon, I saw it. But
all us Westerners, you know, we're the ones that escaped. We got all the way across the country. Uh-huh. We made it the furthest across and said, this town, this country's ours over here. This is our country. This West. This wild, wild West.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Where do you put the flag?
Yeehaw.
This
That's
is
right.
ours.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Colorado. Although cannabis use is legal statewide, you can still face a small fine or a bit of jail time for up to 15 days for toking in public.
All right.
You don't really need to. You have your front. They allowed it on your front porch.
Yeah, they allowed it on your front porch. So, safety in front porches, people. Safety in front porches. What time? Okay. We got a couple.
We're
minutes.
Good. Oh, there we are.
Arizona. Oh.
Hawaii.
Hawaii. Okay. Aloha. Aloha. A bill supporting full legalization is expected by 2017.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we've got 1, 2, 3 out of the 7 already right there. Forget why.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come over. But and maybe they won't. You know, I think our country's going to be, again, like we did with alcohol prohibition, each state is going to have rights. They're going to allow you to grow X amount of pounds per year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, folks, you can brew 100 gallons of alcohol and sell it to each other.
Get on it.
Get on it. Just put some cannabis in it. All right. Ooh, there's your ticket out. I know. Arizona, ballot measure supporting legalization is expected in 2016. And some sneaky sneaks are trying to legislate it up at Phoenix this summer.
trying to work some things out.
Trying to sneak it in like they do everything else. Like, hey, all of a sudden you can carry a concealed weapon.
Right. Surprise, now you get to have marijuana.
Surprise.
Things happen all the time.
Surprise, Kansas. Oh, any amount of pot on your person could land you a year of jail time. The penalty for a second offense is even harsher. A felony charge carries 10 months to 3.5 years and $100,000. I like the combination of burp and boo. Oklahoma. You could be looking up to a year of jail time for possessing any amount of cannabis in Oklahoma, and any subsequent offense carries the possibility of a felony of 2 to 10 years of incarceration. Oklahoma. You guys, what's wrong with you guys?
Get with the program.
Well, we understand Texas, maybe. We got the armpit of Texas smuggling in all of God's nations. Texas, currently possession of 2 ounces or less could cost you $2,000 and up to 180 days in prison. Although a bill legalizing cannabis for medical use will be introduced during the state's next legislative session. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
At least they're going to be introducing a bill. All right. Go for it.
Missouri. A new law, which takes effect on January 1st of 2017, will make possession of less than 10 grams of marijuana a Class D misdemeanor, which is not punishable by jail time.
Yeah, at least you can't go to jail for it.
Good.
All right, Missouri. That's good.
I like that.
Ooh, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin Assembly's Bill 726 allows a limited group of patients to consume the cannabis extract We'll talk about it afterwards. A form without psychoactive effects. All other forms of the drug remain illegal, even for medical use. Is it a small group? Is it a limited group?
It's a limited group.
Was that what means?
And they're going to consume the cannabis.
Yeah.
I take marijuana. I take marijuana.
The extract.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Just all of it. You know, it's what we say about Arizona's program. We're glad we have one.
Right.
And for those patients that are sick and ailing there and need it, amen. And for anybody else that wants it, come to the West.
Come on over.
Come on over.
The weather's great here.
Arizona's beautiful. Oh,
gosh. Alabama. A law passed in March 2014 allows for the non-intoxicating extract known as cannabidiol to be prescribed. Any other types of marijuana possession could lead to a year in prison or a $6,000 fine.
Oh, that's rough. It's happening. It's happening. That's all I'm going to say.
This is red.
So we've got a key from green to dark red here. So we're at red, which is all cannabis is illegal. Florida, a ballot initiative that would have expanded the available forms of medical marijuana failed at the polls by just a few percent. But advocates say we continue trying to expand current law. Yes, they will. And with folks like Robert Platton and Faith C and Faith C out there, you know they will. Yeah. The bill that would have legalized medicinal marijuana was defeated in the state, but the issue is expected to be up for another vote this year. Again, another red state. Here we go. Florida, Georgia. Go for it.
Virginia. D.C. residents should be careful when crossing the border. Possession of 0.5 ounces or less could land you 30 days in jail or $500 fine for first-timers.
Ooh.
The second offense, it's 1 year or $2,500 fine.
Wow. Okay.
Georgia. We're going up.
Maryland,
currently patients can purchase marijuana in 30 days supplies. A legalized bill is expected by 2013.
What? Maryland, currently patients can purchase marijuana in 30 days supplies. For me,
what is a 30 day supply
look
like? Wow,
that's like, okay, in California, if you say that in a 30 day period, they ask you what you need a month, and they don't ask the doctor to tell you the answer, they ask you. So if you write down that you need a pound of weed a month, that's what you need.
Well, people.
People. Okay.
Be bold on what you're going to be using.
I say over ask because
you never know.
You can cook with it. You can't smoke it.
What if
it
you
all.
Get snowed in one day?
Well, back east, you could get snowed in for weeks, which is probably request at least a pound or two a month.
At least.
Washington. D.C. Although voters in the district passed a resolution fully legalizing cannabis, Congress is reviewing the law. Oh, Congress. Delaware. There are strict penalties for possession near a school, park, or religious building, up to 15 years or $250,000.
What if you just happen to be driving by? Do you drop it, or do you just go, oh, can't go this way?
No, you have to reroute. Get your
do not pass go. Do not click $200.
You put in your GPS to bypass school, park, and religious
building. Dude, you know we can't come this way.
But man, there's a park.
I got to pick up my little sister. Oh, great.
She's at school? Forget it.
We can't.
They must have an after-school program. Pennsylvania. A bill that would have legalized medicinal use was passed in the state Senate, but has yet to be brought to the House floor. Just throw it down there. Throw it on the floor.
We've got weak kicks, you guys. Let's start the cannabis your town.
Folks, we're going to run over today. I hope you don't mind. Thanks for staying on with us. Okay, here we go. Rhode Island. Oh, what color is this one? Legal? This is kind
of...
What is that? Is this a tote? What do you call that? Eggshell?
Yeah.
All right. Legal medical cannabis and decriminalization laws. Okay.
Are in effect.
All right. So, Rhode Island, the maximum fine for possession of less than 1 ounce without a prescription is $150. The doctor's note grants you access to up to 2.5 ounces of cannabis. However, as well as the right to grow up to 12 plants on your own, as long as you keep them indoors. Oh. You want your neighbors seeing you. Keep your plants indoors.
Massachusetts. A ballot measure is expected in 2016, which will allow voters to rule on whether or not cannabis should be legal.
Wow. That's the voters' vote. See? And this is why every vote counts, guys.
Well, it's coming from the homeland.
Sure. New Hampshire. And we're into legal medical cannabis here. One of the states moving closer to full legalization. The decriminalization bill is expected to be introduced in 2015, with the bill ending statewide prohibition on the horizon for 2017.
Plymouth Rock didn't land on us. We landed on Plymouth Rock.
Ow!
That was just... It's right there next to...
It is. Maine.
A ballot measure is expected in 2016 that would legalize cannabis statewide.
That's right. Another city in Maine, they have already legalized. Vermont, the maximum fine for possession less than 1 ounce is $200, and many experts believe a full legalization bill will be set up by 2017 for Vermont. New York, they allow for the use of medical marijuana, but it must be of the non-smokable variety. Okay. Ooh, you can vaporize the heck out of hash.
Did you hear that, folks?
Don't worry, New York. We got you covered. Vaporize your hash. Shh. Don't go down. All right. Okay. Ohio. Just a chick from Ohio. Currently, legalizing that would legalize medical marijuana is under review by state congressmen. Michigan. While possession is not legalized statewide, 16 cities, including Detroit and Lansing, have legalized possession of small quantities for personal use. You go, Michigan. In Iowa, medical marijuana is legal in Iowa, but you can't buy it there. Patients must travel to another state to get their prescriptions filled and then get themselves busted on the way back across the state line visit. That's ridiculous.
Boy, they just really
Iowa.
Just kind of put you into
a
state of control right there.
Oh, Iowa. What are you going to do? Huh?
Gay marriage, but no pot.
That's right. All right. Thank you, folks, for putting up with that. That was awesome. We love it
that you guys put up with us every Wednesday morning.
Yes, thank you so much for always being here, for tuning in, for tuning out while you're tuning in, however you are.
We just let you in on the little secrets that we know.
Your love and support and hash. We're going to be at the Peace Fair February 28th. Check it out. Next week we have a wonderful guest from Women Grow coming on, so tune in. And then following, we've got our 3-year anniversary event. Woo! That's in 2 weeks. So check it out. Robert Platstrom, Heidi Hanford, and hopefully Mr. Tom Dean will be on the show. So come on down and come to the Reach Health Center and get certified. 6315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back.
Come on down.
We love you guys. Thanks for everybody for always supporting us. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Cannabis Kid, for being here.
Thanks, Star.
Love you guys. Thanks, everybody, for blogging in, tuning in. And as always,
be smart.
Be safe.
And